The latest census shows 500,000 Australians live in high-rise apartments. Countless others live in apartment buildings with fewer stories, and many, we assume, are navigating a very specific dilemma. Which dog can happily and realistically live there? Because you don't just have to consider the dog's breed and temperament. Apartment living brings with its unique complexities for owner and pooch. Noise, space, and let's face it, the very important question of where to poop. So what's the winning formula for harmonious living for you, your dog, and your neighbors? Dr. Kate Mornament has a few thoughts on this topic. She's an animal behaviorist and consultant. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Beverly.
So when it comes to deciding on a dog for a particular space, which breeds do you recommend? Is there a checklist you need to keep in mind?
Oh, yeah. So generally, smaller breeds of dogs can do really well with apartment living, but there are some exceptions to that rule. So some of the larger breeds like greyhounds and even Great Danes can also be kept quite happy with apartment living.
And are there notably different considerations for a dog when you live in an apartment rather than a house? I did mention the pooping as someone who lives in a place with no backyard. I know this is a true thing. Location might be might be important, but proximity to a park so you can do that walk that you must all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. So there definitely are some other considerations having a dog in an apartment, and that includes proximity to a park. So we need to allow dogs opportunities to sniff and exercise. So having a park nearby is very helpful for that, but also having some green space to be able to take them outside to the toilet frequently is also pretty beneficial.
Is it true, you mentioned some breeds, but is it true that it's not just about breeds? It's about that, I'm sorry, that the breed doesn't necessarily determine everything about a dog's personality?
Yeah, absolutely. So recent research has actually found that variation within breed can differ more than between breeds. So a lot of it comes down to the individual dog. So if somebody adopts a dog, it's more about that individual dog, their age, their energy needs, in terms of their suitability for apartment living, more so than their actual breed.
And how do you assess that, whether the dog has the right temperament for living in a small space? Can you ask the person you're adopting the dog questions? Is there a way even to test drive the dog before committing?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So lots of dogs that come into rescue will spend some time in foster care before they're adopted out, and that gives the foster carer a really good idea of the kind of home that would suit that dog. So potential adopters can speak with the rescue organisation and explain their living situation, and so then they can help them find a dog that will suit that situation. So, for example, with apartments, working dogs generally are not suitable for apartment living because of their high energy requirements and their drive to work. But there are lots of other types of dogs, older dogs or, you know, dogs that may have health conditions that don't require a lot of space. So, yes, people can certainly chat with rescue organisations and even breeders about whether or not an apartment is suitable for that dog they're interested in.
So a Kelpie is not a good idea if you live in a studio apartment, for example.
Generally not. There are always exceptions, you know, to every rule, but in general, that would not be recommended, no.
And then, so that's the dog part of the puzzle, but then there's the human part of the puzzle. You know, a lot of people got dogs during the pandemic, and we're seeing some of the after effects of that, of people not being experienced dog owners. You have to also make sure that you're willing to commit and that your lifestyle works with the dogs, especially you might be out of the house for 8 to 10 hours a day and you live in an apartment. There's also having to commit to walking that dog every day of the week, early hours, late at night, regardless of the weather and how you feel about it.
Yeah, that's true. So, I know a lot of people did get dogs during the pandemic because they provided a sense of purpose and amazing companionship, and they helped reduce our stress levels during a really stressful time. But you're right. It's a big commitment. They need to be walked every day. They need to be trained and socialized, especially puppies require a lot of work in those departments. And they generally don't cope very well left home alone for many hours every day. And one of the biggest issues we're seeing at the moment is separation anxiety, because people are now returning to the office more regularly. So these are all things that we need to take into account, but there are ways that we can mitigate that, like doggy daycare, provide a service that they'll look after dogs during the day when their owner is at work, or dog walkers, or people that provide adventures for dogs during the day. So those sorts of things can help.
Well, as an animal behaviourist, Kate, what are some tactics you could suggest for coping with anxiety from your pet?
Yeah, so particularly with separation anxiety, the ability to cope with separation is, it's a learned behaviour, very similar to human babies. You know, we wouldn't expect a baby to be at home on their own and be okay with that. And puppies are pretty similar. They need to learn how to be okay on their own very gradually. And so it's our responsibility to teach them that. There's lots of resources online about how to help dogs cope with separation, and it's really about teaching them that good things happen when we're not around, not just when we're there. But if it does get more serious, often people need help from a professional, and they should definitely speak to their vet if they have any concerns about their dog to take some steps to help resolve it.
So it's possible, it sounds like, to be a helicopter pet parent as much as it is to be a helicopter human parent.
Yes, true. So, yeah, a lot of us are very attached to our dogs, and we feel, you know, we like to take them everywhere with us, but that's not necessarily the best thing for the dog, especially if we are going to be spending a lot of time away from the home and they're going to be on their own. We actually need to teach them the coping skills to be okay with separation from us.
And Kate, do we have to even think about whether having a dog is the right choice? I'm just prompted by a text. The texter has written in, the perfect dog breed for an apartment is a cat. What do you reckon? Changing your desire, your wish list, kind of realigning what you want?
Yes, absolutely. So cats can make fantastic pets in apartments, and they tend not to need, you know, as much time in terms of things to be easier, because you can have a cat litter in the apartment. And they do tend to tolerate separation from their owner much better than dogs do. So yes, cats are a wonderful choice. A bird can be a wonderful choice too. So it's really...
Sounds like we are having some big phone troubles with Kate. I can just read a few texts if that's not possible. We have a wealth of texts. Not only do we have a cats versus dog war coming up on the text line, but there are a few more texts about First Nations authors of children's books. One person's texting in, as a child, there were a few books written by any Australian authors. Most were English books that left us ignorant of our own beautiful natural environment, let alone First Nations culture. So that's a very good point. Children, and then another point about Auntie Rhonda, who was in our previous interview talking about First Nations children's books, talking about bullying. Children are cruel and will torment each other using any difference they can find. I was bullied at school, but was not Aboriginal. So as well, my son. Kids are kids. It's awful to be bullied, no matter what the reason, and kids will find ways to bully each other. But also, equally, that's why we need books, I think, to share and teach another way besides bullying. Kate Mornament, are you back to talk about dogs in apartments?
I'm back.
Great. Let's hang in there for a bit longer, because I think people are interested in knowing about this. We have so many people living in apartments in Australia these days, so it is important information. Now, Kate, buildings are different, states are different, owners can have different attitudes towards pets. So if you are a renter in an apartment, for example, or even if you own your apartment, you're getting ready to welcome a dog into your home, what are some of the things you should do to prepare in advance? It can be as basic as making sure you've got enough newspaper around, for example, or even some big things that people may not have thought about.
Yeah, sure. So if you're preparing to welcome a new dog into your apartment, you want to make sure that you've got all the things that your dog will need. So, you know, their bed, a place to toilet. There are some great doggy grass toilets available that are fantastic for apartments. Or if you don't have a balcony, puppy pads can work really well. It's also nice to have a puppy playpen, particularly if you are getting a puppy. So a place where you can pop your puppy if you can't supervise them, put some toys and their food and water in there, so give them a nice cozy place just to relax. It's also good to chat with your neighbours and let them know that you're bringing a new dog home, because often when a puppy or a dog comes to a new home, there can be a few days settling in. They may bark or whine a little bit, so it's good to let your neighbours know to get on their good side. And, you know, scope out the local parks and places where you might walk your dog or take them to toilet, as well as, you know, finding out where the local dog training or puppy socialisation school is. These are all things that are good to prepare before you bring your puppy home.
And we alluded to this, or I did mention, you know, the importance of toilet access, but what if you aren't able to walk your dog as much as you need to the park, and you don't have access to a backyard or a courtyard? What can you do in a situation like that?
Yeah, so there are a few options. So puppy pads are readily available. They just stick to the floor, and they encourage the puppy or the dog to toilet on those pads. So they're disposable. They work really well. But another option is a dog toilet or a dog loo. It's either synthetic grass or real grass in a tray that you can pop out on the balcony, and they're ideal because they actually teach the dog or puppy to toilet on the grass, so rather than inside. So they're a couple of really good options if you can't always take them out to a park or a garden.
Fantastic advice, Dr. Kate Mornament, animal behaviourist and consultant. Thank you so much.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.